got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This week, as promised, I went into the beef between Cardi B and plus size influencer Samira.
It was tough.
It was tough. It was tough. Cardi B, what are we doing? Samira is also annoying, so it's hard.
So if you want to go, if you want to wade into that discourse for yourself, that is up on our Patreon right now. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. But the best review you can give us is to tell your friends about the podcast. Post a story about it. We'll reshare it. You know that we're online.
And speaking of online, Go Touch Grass is on YouTube. And we have full video episodes every Saturday coming out, edited by moi. Mm-hmm. So you should check that out. And that's my Miss Piggy voice.
Yep.
And please check out our website, gotouchgrasspodcast.com. Where we have updates on all things Go Touch Grass. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very, very fun.
Yes. And now in studio with us, we are so excited. We have a wonderful guest. She is a comedian. She's an actor. She is the host of the Webby and Signal award-winning podcast, Latinos Out Loud. It's Rachel Stern. Welcome.
It's so good to be here. Thank you so much. And thank you for accepting me and my tardy self.
Listen, well, there's Latina power in the room.
There's Latina power in the room.
I knew that things might get started a little later than normal.
But
we are going to dive right into our discourse today.
We're going to dive right in.
Into this discourse.
And like we said right before you got on, like, you're a pro, again, Signal Award winner.
Come on.
So we'll take that.
We can dive right in.
We'll take that. Right at the camera.
Yeah, right at the camera.
if you're not watching, she did just do the dive signal. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this
fake nose plug.
Guys, this is
the water in the sinuses. The mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is why you gotta watch the YouTube. That's so you'll understand. You can visualize.
Would you please?
Come on. Now, there is some imagery in today's episode that I unfortunately it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit less fun because we do, for today's discourse, this is our segment of the podcast where we discuss, we break down something that everybody's talking about online. And we unfortunately do have to talk about Matt Rife again. He's been coming up on the podcast more than I would like.
Yeah.
He recently took possession of the Annabelle doll.
Do you watch horror films?
I don't. I'm terrified of anything horror.
Okay. So
there's a doll that's creepy.
Remember the film.
Okay.
I won't watch it.
It's a real doll, though.
Yeah, and but it's freaky. Freaky doll. Can't do it.
So then a few weeks ago,
basically the entire Annabelle franchise is part of the larger Conjuring franchise, which is based on the supposedly real life adventures of this couple, demonologists, something in Lorraine Warren. Anyway, the point is, They have like a fake museum of all the scary stuff that they've supposedly found on their supposed adventures, one of which being the original Annabelle doll. And Matt Rife recently bought all of these items and now is
the
owner of their supernatural collection. So I don't know if the reason that this story that we're about to talk about is happening is all because he's now kind of the owner of all these paranormal objects and is at the nexus of like a vortex of evil. I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah.
But it's not.
They could have demonized him.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like he was already open to kind of darkness, and then now he's living in a paranormal museum. So that's not good.
That would
explain
it.
I would argue that he's always been dark.
Well, yeah. No, I'm not saying. I think that sometimes
darkness, though, means
access
of evil.
Like, he would not have put himself in the position to be the owner of the Annabelle doll if he wasn't coming from a dark place. Yeah. And then now he is the owner of the Annabelle doll. And so things are getting worse.
Yeah.
we're only the things are only going to progress from here.
If only you could do the right things with your demonized powers.
That's the thing.
That would be helpful.
Well, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So
we'll get to that in a second.
So the reason we are talking about Matt Rife again today, unfortunately, is because of a viral new campaign that he is a part of for Elf Cosmetics. The viral campaign stars him and drag queen Heidi in Closet. And we're going to take a second. We're going to watch the ad right now. And then we're going to talk about all the discourse surrounding it. You can just go to the next slide.
We wanted you to react to Eric Adams' Dominican tweet, but we don't have time.
Oh, gosh. Is he Dominican? He sure act like it. He acts like a couple of cousins of mine. So
that's exactly what I said last week, and that's why it's hard.
I'm in denial, though. Sorry. I interviewed him on the podcast, and I really felt like I was talking to one of my primos, and I was asking him some hard questions.
Oh, wow. My God.
Yeah, and he went around every single one of them.
Yeah, like, and did he answer them?
He deflected all of them just like a primo.
Did he answer them? You know, like, yeah. Yes, words came out of his mouth.
Okay, we have to move on to a different problematic man, but obviously that's all incredible.
Crazy, yeah.
So this is the Matt Rife Elf Cosmetics ad that has been at the center of all of this discourse.
Hey, girl. Has overpriced beauty hurt your wallet?
Elf that.
Elfino and Schmarns have gone to Elf Court for millions of clients, helping them to access beauty products they deserve at prices that won't injure their livelihoods.
Just ask the elfing people.
I know a thing or two about red flags. And pricey makeup, you deserve better than that.
You may be entitled to benefits.
Let's get you those eyes, lips, funds.
Find out what your case and face are really worth.
Call us at 1-855-COLD-HARD-LASH.
A couple good things there with the wordplay.
And the wordplay is based off Celino and Barnes. But yeah. Is that an... I thought that's just a New York law firm. So they're making fun of the New York law firm ad. So I'm just like, how does this translate to a national brand? I guess they all know what law firm brands are, I guess.
That they're pretty famous. I mean, there is like a parody Celino and Barnes play that people we know wrote. So it's Celino and Barnes have some recognition.
And I think there are corny law commercials that come on at 2 a.m. everywhere with lawyers with blowouts and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it might
so it's
be
like
a universal.
Yeah, maybe it's like even if you don't recognize Celino and Barnes, you know, like a fake injury law firm commercial enough that
your
it's
local,
like national.
Shave-Its and Shave-Its.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I guess. I just feel like it's regional. And also, Matt Rife fucking sucks.
Well, yes. Putting a pin in Matt Rife fucking sucking, because we'll get into
that.
He's
sucking and fucking.
I feel like other than that, the ad is like a funny parody ad. Like, there's nothing inherently problematic about, like, the content of the ad itself. Yeah. It's really just the involvement of Matt Rife. So
it's not like Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, it's not. It's a little bit different because, the Sydney Sweeney ad, she's saying problematic shit. This is not that.
Yeah.
It's really just about him. So for anyone who's new, who doesn't remember, we've talked about him before. But Matt Rife is a 29-year-old comedian. He became popular on TikTok for crowd work videos. He was also on Wild and Out.
He was also on Bring the Funny, which I was on in 2019.
Oh, you were on Bring the Funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
I met him on set a few times. This is not a brag.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because
okay,
your sketch
so we actually
team,
have an expert.
Your sketch team. So Bring the Funny was like American Idol, but comedy groups
competing
against each other. And her sketch team, you guys got pretty far. Yeah, Room 28 got like a
it
little far.
It was so
yeah.
fun.
That's really cool. I did not realize that you did that. So he's
no,
like,
Rachel's a legend.
Yeah. Oh, stop it.
She's a legend.
Would you just?
That I don't doubt.
Yeah,
I just didn't know all the lore behind the legend.
I love you and thanks for saying that. You guys are legends. This is a legendary freaking
room.
It's
a legendary podcast, but you know who's not legendary? Matt Rife. So you had sex with Matt Rife is what you're saying. No.
I don't want to talk about that too much. That topic, sex with white boys, period.
I
don't want to talk about that. That's your mom's topic.
Mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Lily's a good girl.
And that's a joke because Rachel's mom is Dominican and her dad is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we made that joke.
Yes.
So now everyone has the context.
Now everyone has the context. But back to Matt Rife.
Okay. but wow, I didn't realize that, you know, sometimes we plan an episode and we don't even realize that our guest is going to have a connection that we're talking to. So you were on Bring the Funny at the same time as him.
Yeah.
There we go. So anyway, he like got popular on TikTok and Twitter. He is what we would call on the podcast a discourse inducer. Mm-hmm. He is someone who causes a lot of conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't think being a discourse inducer is necessarily always bad, but
totally bad look.
Courts controversy purposefully. His tour was called Problematic with you know what I mean?
Racist. Wow.
He's always bitching about being quote unquote canceled. How canceled are you if you're the face of a cosmetics brand?
That it's like, you know, that you don't even use. Or maybe he uses concealer and stuff, but it's not like.
Yeah. He has been, we've talked about him on the podcast in the past for being the toxic ex of Brooke Schofield, who said he didn't like outie vaginas.
He doesn't like when, he said like that he doesn't like lips that hang out of the vagina.
He's got a lot of opinions.
And his girlfriend, the girl that he was sleeping with at the time, came out and she said, wait, I have an outie vagina. So it's like, weird comments about women.
That's so, lippy badges are so cool.
I mean.
Also, what do you mean, man?
Yeah, what do you mean, man?
What do you mean, man? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, like, but also, like, to say that, so I guess the way that timeline works, and this is why I think it's so egregious, is that he had slept over her house, recorded a podcast the next day, and said that.
And then she saw it and was like, wait, my vagina is an outie vagina.
Yeah, which, yeah, whatever. Like,
anyway, that's a controversy he's been a part of. And then most recently, he opened up his Netflix special with a joke about domestic violence. And then instead of, like, apologizing or trying to, I don't know, instead of like addressing it in a real way, what he did was he posted a link on his Instagram story to a special needs helmet. And he was like, this is for anyone who's offended. So that's his energy.
Gosh.
That's his energy.
And the joke, I have to say, was at the expense of the victim.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It was like he saw a waitress with a black eye and said something about like, well, if she could cook, then she wouldn't have the black eye.
Yeah, that's the gist of the joke. So it's not like some kind of clever like satire where actually he's like turning it around.
I forgot about the special needs helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And then his response was the special needs helmet thing. So that's
what an asshole.
He is. I know.
And this is who who's running the campaign for Elf.
For Elf. Or is, you know, starring in the campaign for Elf. The other thing that I will say about him, one big part of his original appeal is that he like used to be like handsome in kind of this like handsome Squidward way. And he would be like kind of flirty from the stage and do these like red flags with like women in the audience. Something is going on with the filler now.
Yeah.
And I do think that he's gotten into kind of Republican filler territory now.
Yeah.
It's giving puffy.
Yeah.
It's giving. I said this to Millie when we were texting about the story. He looks like an elf who's been left in water.
And he's got a new cleft. Like, that's a cool thing.
Yeah, he has a butt chin now. So he has a butt chin
he's
now.
He's really filled up the chin. He's really filled up the cheeks. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. But I just think if we're going to talk shit about a woman's natural outie vagina, we can't also appear
to puff
with fake butt chin, puffed up face.
So he's clearly getting Botox. It's like before he had just cheek fillers. He has cheek fillers on top, and then he did jaw fillers. But then he's getting, and then he has chin implants. But he got the space between the jaw and the chin filled up too.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that.
Like the buckle fat, he got that filled. Which is interesting.
He's got like gerbil jaw now. You know, they
Yeah,
he has gerbil jaw. That is very true. Take that as you will, listeners. Take it as you will. But I'm just saying.
There's nothing wrong with a little, you know, nip, tug, suck, and fuck.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know.
But don't be coming out here talking about other women's vaginas.
For vaginas,
if we can't say anything about your face.
I think every vagina is beautiful. Look, I've only seen a few.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the ones that I have seen, I think each of them come in different shapes, sizes, colors, labia, you know, any outedness. They're all wonderful.
I guess like sleeping with someone, I'm not really focusing on all the things that I don't like about their body. Yeah. I'm just excited to be there. Like, yeah. We're happy that it's happening and whatever. And also at the time, he was like sleeping with like seven other, he was in a relationship with seven women at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe yeah,
there was a lot of drama around that. There was just, his whole thing was that he would let, I know like one of his original videos that went super viral was him like pulling his belt off and he would like flirt with women in the crowd and like ask them about relationship stuff. And that's why he like references red flags in the videos. He had like courted this female fan base and then people feel like he really betrayed them by the way he talks about women, by joking about domestic violence at his shows. And then he's also kind of, specifically in other interviews, tried to be like, oh, I actually think I do comedy for dudes. Like,
yeah, he doesn't like being a heartthrob. Yeah, he doesn't like that. So that I feel like that's why he went harder on the anti-women shit.
Yeah.
And I just say, and maybe you guys can chime in, like, as comedians, like, when you're doing your funny at the expense of others, is that really comedy? Or are you just making fun of people hoping for a laugh? Like, what happened to the science of comedy? What happened to the methodology of a joke? And actually, like, stimulating people's brains in the audience.
Well, the thing is that stuff doesn't do well on TikTok.
That's
because
sad.
You need, like, 20 minutes or 10 minutes. You need this bit, and it needs this context. And also, I feel like that is kind of the big major criticism of Matt Rife material-wise. It's why Mark Maron has arguments with him. Is that actually, technically, none of his comedy is actually good. It's all, like, cheap crowd work stunts. It's like, how good can your crowd work be if you don't write it in advance?
Like, everything is low-hanging fruit, you know?
Exactly.
Like, all you're going to do is, like, shit, titty, fart jokes? Like, I have a problem with those kinds of comedians.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and I mean, I get why crowd work videos are, like, a popular thing to put online as a stand-up because they perform well not burning your, like, actual material. You know, like, if you're doing, you know, a show and you're a headliner and you give 10 minutes of it to crowd work, then that's stuff that you can just put out. And it's not like, you know, if you're feeling like you don't want to put all of your jokes out there yet, I get it. But he does not seem to, like, based on his Netflix special, also have great material that is, like, what he's doing. Like, a joke where you're like, oh, how'd you get that black eye not being in the kitchen? That's, like, a joke that is old, been done a million times. In addition to not being funny, it's just, like, there's nothing new
or
there.
Interesting. That joke, only he could say.
Yeah, right. There's nothing to telling a woman to get back in the kitchen. That's just something.
It's also 2025, bro.
Yeah, like, it's just not. Again, yeah, there's no commentary. There's no other thing you're trying to do. There's no any of that. So as a result, this ad comes out and people are not into it. People love it.
People are so happy.
We loved e.l.f. Cosmetics before this, right? Although every single thing would cause a breakout on my face, but that's because I have sensitive skin. I can't buy concealer for $2. I just can't.
But that's also, like, the kind of thing that's kind of troubling me is, like, this is a brand for kind of, like, low-income women.
Yeah.
And it's like, what does that say? And I'm not women who are victims of domestic violence and economic things. I'm sure it's like the Venn diagram is a big overlap. So it just bothers me that high end people like have Julia Roberts and Zendaya and Elf has to get fucking Matt Rife.
Well, yeah. And it's like the joke he made with about a waitress who had a black eye. So it's like, definitely someone who would maybe be in e.l.f. Cosmetics target demographic. Demo, yeah. And the entire commercial is about how affordable everything is. So, all right, I'm going to show you guys now some comments from when e.l.f. posted the video. So we've got, you didn't have the budget for a comedian who doesn't joke about abuse. I thought you guys were cruelty free. I think Andrew Tate's available for the next ad. Ooh, Matt Rife, the guy who jokes about DV in an ad targeted to women. That's a choice. Mm. And then the last one is, how can we be a girl's girl brand if we hire Matt Rife for an ad? And then in the middle, we, of course, have at least one person saying, he's a comedian. Everyone is too soft, swear to God. Because you always got to get one.
Emma Carlson.
Emma Carlson. You can buy e.l.f. then.
Yeah, then buy e.l.f., Emma.
Emma.
He's a comedian. So, guys, anything we say is cool because we're comedians.
You can say anything?
You can say anything.
Like, can we talk about Hitler or no?
No, let's take that out.
No, okay. No. I wasn't going to say anything good about him.
Guys, we said she was Jewish earlier. It was fine.
I am. Represent. Are we talking about diarrhea? Or no, I don't know. Like, can we talk about anything as comedians?
Well,
anything?
It is always funny. Like, the people who say, like, wow, you're a comedians can't talk about anything are also the first ones who are going to get mad. Like, I have a video that is a character that's political that's going viral right now. And I bet half the people that are in my comments that are pissed about it are also people who would say, like, God, he's a comedian. Like, you can't say anything anymore.
Oh, this is the same people who comment on my shit when I make a joke and they're just like, this isn't funny. Or like, okay, you're fat and you have sex. Who cares? It's just like, that's the joke. Like, yeah. I'm like, so you don't like jokes. What is it? Do you think that comedians should be able to say something, everything? Or do you
make
not
up your
like,
mind? Yeah.
Yeah, make it up.
It's truly this weird thing where they're like, I actually only want comedians to say things that are offensive and right wing. That's like the only thing that those people think is acceptable for comedians to say. And everything else they don't like, hate it, think you're annoying. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Think you shouldn't do comedy because you're like, shut up. Mm.
So, okay. People are pissed, as you can see from the comments, overwhelmingly negative reaction. People are calling to boycott Elf. People are posting videos of themselves throwing out their Elf products. Other big creators are getting involved. So at this point, we're going to watch another video. This video is actually from Jules LeBron, who was the trans woman comedian who coined the very mindful, very demure meme last year, I guess. Yeah, it was
meme
of the year.
I missed demure.
You could say it.
She's still out here.
Put it on the trademark.
Yeah, she did get the trademark. She did get it. Thank God. But she made this video speaking out because she was the face of Elf Cosmetics after Mindful and Demure went viral. So she wanted to like step in, and I just think she's so funny. And I like her videos, so we're gonna watch.
I'm just as confused as y'all are. I was the face of an Elf campaign at the beginning of the year. A plus size, transgender, Black and Puerto Rican girl from the middle of Chicago was the face of an Elf product that sold out at the beginning of the year. In fact, one of the jokey jokes I made to Elf during me going to their headquarters was that I know that that Elf camel concealer, the glowy one, is one of the best for covering a black eye. Now, I didn't share this with them because I was trying to keep things light and jokey. I know that through the experience of getting my ass beat behind a Buffalo Wild Wings by a grown man as a transgender woman, and having to go back to that same Buffalo Wild Wings the next day with a full face of makeup to cover that bitch up. And I remember doing that Elf campaign and being like, ah, this is such a proud moment, and like past Jules would be so proud. So can you imagine knowing that was such a successful campaign we were on, and my memories with this company, their product, and my transition and who I am, and seeing them hire that man for a campaign that would joke about a situation like that. I'm very confused, and I don't recognize the brand that's in front of me right now, and I wish that I would have a clearer explanation or an apology, but I see it, guys. I see your comments, and as someone who was just the face of a different product by the same company, I am also disappointed. Because when I was getting beat up by a grown man, and I'm 21 years old, I don't think that was a joke. I think that was one of the most traumatizing experiences of my life. But hey, that's just me, right?
That's just like the tenor of the conversation that's happening online. I think Jules LeBron has a great point. Yeah. I think it's very interesting, again, to see like, how much has shifted culturally from the beginning? Because she said the beginning of this year.
Yeah, so that means they had planned it 6 months in advance.
Yeah. So it's like, how much culturally has shifted where it's like, who brands want to be associated with in this way? Like, even going back to the Sydney Sweeney ad that we just talked about. Like, it just all speaks to kind of this larger weirdness. So I did, to kind of get us into that topic, I also wanted to show you another set of comments. This was on Diet Prada's account that posted about this, which is like a popular Instagram for fashion news. So first we have Chrishell Strauss, who just says, was literally no one else available. But this second comment from Jaden Medina says, it's almost like the brands are wanting the controversy, sacrificing values for the sake of attention. So I kind of wanted to like put that conversation to the two of you. To what degree do you think a brand chooses, like Elf chooses Matt Rife because they want to stir up conversation, or is it just that people are ignorant and they're like, whatever, he's famous, and they don't look into like why or what for?
I feel like there had to have been a publicist that did this like a SWOT analysis, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there have to be strengths and weaknesses of this campaign.
Yeah.
What are they going to look at in post sales? Are they going to see a crazy dip? Are they going to see, you know, sort of a steady line? But from the consumer perspective, it's incredibly bothersome. I will never buy another e.l.f. product.
Yeah.
But from the marketing perspective, if we put that hat on, like, to your point, what's the scale of measurement there, though?
Yeah.
Like, how do you measure the success of a campaign with a controversial face behind it?
So that's, sorry.
What I was going to say is just that I feel like they're trying to get it both. Like, I feel like before, what I'm seeing is brands would try to be like inclusive and woke and all this stuff, and like maybe weren't trying to appeal to the right at all or to right wing people at all. And I feel like some brands like American Eagle are either trying to completely pivot, but with the e.l.f. thing, I feel like they're trying to have both. They want to appeal to a more like Trumpian audience, because that's what Matt Rife is. It's very Trumpian, alt-right, whatever, like girls who don't care. It's just a joke. It's not that serious. And they want the drag queen hide in the closet, in the closet, which is that, you know, so they want to keep both. They want to. So to them, they're probably like, yeah, whatever. Like, we'll get this new group. They're probably saying like this new group of women that whatever, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Two things. Okay, so what's really interesting to your point about like how do you even measure the success? So one like stat that I pulled is like, so American Eagle's stock went up after they posted this Sydney Sweeney controversial ad. But Forbes just published an article last week saying like foot traffic in their stores is down. So, you know, does stock. It actually do better for you? I mean, obviously, I feel like a stock price is reflective of if you are the center of a huge conversation and everyone's saying your name and whatever.
Right.
Usually that correlates with like your stock price going up. Don't ask me to explain.
I think the stock thing is, no, it's right. It's a controversy. Good. And it's also like a bunch of older people like who probably never heard of American Eagle or like whatever, never engaged. And they see this pro white people, pro, you know, thing. They're going to invest, but then the actual customers are not interested anymore.
Right.
I feel like that's exactly what that is reflecting.
Yeah.
And it's like, who do you want to buy your jeans? You want Donald Trump to be happy, or you want girls who would actually buy your jeans to buy them?
Yeah.
And they're saying, we want Donald Trump to be happy.
Yeah.
Because if we want to merge or do something in the future, we want him to be like, oh, I love the jeans.
Right. And our stock price is high. And we're high on the algorithm, the algorithm, the algorithm, the algorithm.
Because I feel like the stock price in a way is just reflective of like, everyone's talking about your brand right
now. And everyone's trading and buying. Everyone's mean that people are buying the jeans.
Yeah, but exactly. It's like, are people actually going to get the jeans that you are advertising in the ad? And I mean, obviously, that's just one statistic and one, you know, publication. But yeah, they said that foot traffic is down by 9% or something. So I also think it's interesting, like, OK, when we look at Hide in the Closet, the drag queen who's associated with it, Jules LeBron, these are people where it's like you would associate them with makeup.
Yeah.
And good makeup, because Jules LeBron, like the original Mindful Demure video, she has the line that's like, I don't show up to work with a green cut crease. Like, she's talking about makeup in that video. So it makes sense to like use her in a makeup campaign. I really don't understand what his value would be to a makeup campaign, other than that, like, some women find him handsome.
And not anymore. Not with that face.
Yeah, not with, you know.
He looks like the mask.
And that's three faces ago.
Yeah, three faces ago. He looks like the mask, like the evil guy. When the evil guy got the mask and Jim takes the mask and he put it on Dorian, he looks like that.
And we don't know if maybe that is what's happened. He does own all this paranormal stuff.
True.
So maybe he is wearing them.
Maybe he is.
We actually don't know.
Maybe he's wearing the mask.
Something to think about, you guys. He might be wearing the mask.
He's wearing the mask.
The actual mask.
Well, maybe he just like looked like the evil lawyer type. So they were like, let's bring him in as Celino. he could be
the evil one. Is that you're saying Celino's the evil one?
I don't really know, actually. Evil. One of them is evil, one right?
We gotta watch our friends play.
that might be enumerated
in the play. But okay, so yeah, I feel like business people are out of touch and would be like, this guy's really famous online and girls like him, like put him in the ad. But also, to your point, there has to be at least one PR person who's like, hey, so just so you know, like if you Google this guy, the kind of the number one result is like controversy, canceled, domestic violence. Like that is what he is associated with culturally. Like someone has to know, right?
See, this is what I think happened, right? Like he got quote unquote canceled, but like we all know cancel culture isn't real if you're a man. Or like a white man, honestly, because it is real to everyone else.
Louis C.K. is on tour.
So it's like he got canceled for this domestic violence thing. He's still selling out. He still did Netflix things. He's still doing a lot of things. So they're like, yeah, he has some controversy, but he's still selling out. He's still got like the highest paid comedy special or some.
His videos are getting millions of views.
The thing is that maybe what they didn't calculate is that he's still popular, but not in this demographic of like, the thing is that it's not just a makeup company. It's a makeup company for, lower income women. It's a lower price point. It's mostly dupes of more expensive makeup. And it's like, if you're using queer people, trans people in your ads, then that audience is not going to like this hard pivot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. No, I think you're totally onto it. So, okay, this is what Elf has said. On August 14th, Elf Beauty's global chief of marketing officer, Corey Marchisotto.
Italian. At least it's half Italian.
Oh.
So, gotta put a pin on it.
Okay.
Bada bing indeed.
Bada bing.
Corey Marchisotto told the Business of Beauty, which I guess is like a trade publication about the beauty industry, that the brand was surprised by the poor reception.
Really?
And that there's a big gap between our intention and how the ad missed the mark for some people. Yeah. So they said that in this trade publication on Tuesday. Then on the 15th of August, they post to Instagram, "You know us, we're always listening, and we've heard you. This campaign aimed to humorously spotlight beauty injustice. We understand we missed the mark with the people we care about in our e.l.f. community. While Elfino and Schmarns closes today, we'll continue to make the case against overpriced beauty. Heart." And then the comments, number one comment is Matt Rife just saying, "Had a great time. Heart, heart." Can't really tell if that's supposed to be sarcastic.
I think it's sarcastic. He's just being an asshole.
The hearts make it.
Yeah, it
feel ingenuine.
Then Danisha Carter, who's a discourse inducer in her own right, says, "Remove me from your PR list immediately."
Get it.
And then someone called I deserve couture. "You made an apology but kept the video on IG. Like, you are apologizing for something that is two scrolls away. Make it make sense. Take down the campaign if you really understand the issue." I think if they deleted the video, people would be like, "You deleted the video. That's also fair."
There's no way. I just feel like they could have been like, "Domestic violence is a serious error," whatever. Like, "A portion of our proceeds are going to this." Like,
yes.
Something like that.
Having
that live comment is fucked up.
Yeah.
And continuing the beat. Yeah.
Well, I guess they're not in control of if he comments.
Yeah.
Like, then they could delete his comment, but then they're deleting comments, etc. But like, because as soon as he comments, someone's going to screenshot it. So there's really no getting out of that. But I do think keeping the last line be a pun from the video is probably poorly thought out. I do feel like people are always, if you take something down, people are like, "You took it down, dirty delete, blah, blah, blah." And if you leave something up, people are like, "Wow, leaving up the video." So I just, sometimes I am like, well,
is there any pleasing
people?
Yeah,
I think you would get both either way.
I just feel like they, keeping it up and continuing the bit in their apology.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good. You have to do either or.
Yeah. I think, and there is like in between, there's like one other Elfino and Schmarns post. I'm like, maybe you take down the second Elfino and Schmarns post. something. But I definitely don't think that we continue to make the case against overpriced beauty.
No, I know. And I barely got that in the fucking video. Ugh. Like, whatever.
Yeah. So that rounds out our discourse for today. That's where it stands. The one thing I couldn't find out is if Matt Rife is like properly fired, if they had other things shot that aren't going to be released, if this was always the only ad and it's just kind of done and dusted, maybe they would have done a couple other posts with it. Like that, I don't think we know necessarily.
Yeah.
He did comment, have had a great time, heart, heart, which I agree probably is sarcastic. It's hard to say.
I just don't know, like, what else they could do with him at this point, because it's all going to be social, because it's not like they do. I don't really see maybe there are like actual commercials of Elf, mm-hmm. but also I'm just like, it's not like he can have his own collab. It's not like he can make his own line of collab things or anything like
lip
that.
Lip plumper. Well, face plumper.
Face plumper.
That would be a good, yeah.
Eye puffer.
Eye puffer.
Yeah.
Something that makes you look like you've been stung by bees.
Jesus Christ. That's what he looks like now.
Okay. I think that moves us on to our next segment. It's a segment we haven't done in a little bit.
We haven't done
it
in a little
bit. I'm excited. We've got you in.
Yes.
Millie, do you want to take us through PolitiTikTok?
Yeah. So this segment of the show, we talk about the intersection between politics and the internet. Mm-hmm. And this week we want to cover, two things. I want to give space for Elise to talk about. What's the video you have up? How's it going? And some crazy comments you're getting.
I currently have a video of one of my characters that I did. I'm on a character team at UCB.
Awesome.
It's called A School in Like 2 Years. And it's a teacher at RFK Junior High and Elementary School. And it's a satirization of the way that Republicans want to change our education system. And honestly, I've been very lucky. Like, it's doing well online.
Really
people
fun.
Have been really awesome about it.
It went viral, though.
But it did go viral. And now I will say that, like, as of this morning, it's gotten to the place where now Republicans are finding the video.
Oh,
it's
wow.
moved outside just my liberal bubble. And now I am getting comments. There was a guy who,
Trollins
McGuffin, commented like 12 times in 7 minutes, just fighting, fighting, fighting. So now it's like that thing where now in my notifications, I'm getting, they're becoming angry, but it's people who are fighting with each other. Like I don't respond to any of that stuff.
Okay.
I watch from my tower. I watch from afar. But I do have to like check randomly to be like, okay, is anyone mad at me that I care about? No? Okay.
You know what I say?
Keep fighting him out.
I think you need to call Emma Carlson to leave that little comment. She's a comedian.
Yes. Can yes. Emma, where are you?
Yes. Take the joke.
Yes.
We need you, Emma.
Yeah, Grass Nation, if you want to get in the comments and just start replying to these people and say she's a comedian, whatever.
I don't want to get on the record for activating our fans.
Activating Grass Nation against Trollins McGuffin.
We don't need.
No, I blocked Trollins McGuffin.
Yeah,
I do have a
block.
Rule. If you're commenting at a rapid pace like that, like if I'm seeing you, I'm not going to delete all negative comments. One, I don't have the time. Two, it's like, I don't
it's
not
engagement.
Gonna, it's engagement,
sucks.
Whatever. But if I'm seeing that you are commenting 10, 15 times in as many minutes, I'm blocking you for your own self. I'm freeing you.
Yeah.
I'm releasing
your
you from my comments. Yeah, you've been trapped in my comment section. I'm setting you free from that.
I'll block them for me too. So speaking of block.
Okay.
So that was the first thing we wanted to just call
space.
To hold space for that.
Congrats.
Thank
that's
you.
A successful
Thank you.
Thing.
Thank
that's
you. Hey,
thing.
I'm in the creator program. I'm getting some money.
For TikTok, not
for TikTok.
Instagram.
No, Instagram you make nothing. Instagram sucks. But I'm making a little money on TikTok
get your
this
paper
week.
Girl.
Get your little
paper. Girl.
Okay. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about in political TikTok. For the second thing, I wanted to talk about a shift that I'm noticing online. So I feel like Trump's tweeting style was iconic in a bad way, because it was the first time that a president or really any figure in government would just speak kind of stream of consciousnessly without it like edited, whatever, directly to the public, just tweeting shit. That's not run through a bunch of people. He's like, the first things, his tweets were mean and erratic. And I feel like for the first few years that he was tweeting like that, I think everybody in the news thing, like, was just shocked. Like, oh my God, can you believe what he said? He said this, he said that. And like, I guess everyone has been, was like just reacting to it.
Yeah.
Just like, whatever. So that kind of like immobile or like shocked people. So all the coverage of it was just like people being like, can you believe what he said? So I just wanted to read a classic tweet from Trump from 2017 after the host of the very moderate show Morning Joe criticized him.
Okay.
So here's two tweets that Trump tweeted.
Trump throwback.
TBT.
TBT. He said, I heard poorly rated at Morning Joe speaks badly of me. Parentheses, don't watch anymore. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika along with psycho Joe came ... And then to the next tweet. To Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me. She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no! !
She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no.
Oh my! I didn't want the blood on the sheets. I just got them from Egypt.
Exactly. So again, this is how he used to speak, and it was just not a way that we were used to hearing a president speak.
No,
for American Democrats and for I would say the left, but not even I would say center and left, whatever. The whole mantra was, don't respond. We can't go low. Like the Michelle Obama thing, when they go low, you go high. Mm-hmm. We have to like be the most respectful. We have to follow the rules harder. That will make them be embarrassed. That hasn't worked.
No.
That's not working. And there's a shift happening.
Yeah.
There's a shift happening right now, and none is clearer than the official account for the press office of California Governor Gavin Newsom. So there's the official California governor account that no matter whose governor is going to run, and that's where they put the official news. And then he made his own California governor press office account, made their own Twitter, and it's getting crazy.
Which is like, that's how the presidential account works too. Like there's at POTUS. Yes. And if you look at that, that's
going to
just
be Obama.
Yeah. Like that's just like, it was Joe Biden. Like it's like that one just gets handed off.
Yeah.
But at real Donald Trump is where we get
the juice. At real Donald
and now
Trump.
Truth Social.
And
as
Truth
well.
Social. And also at the White, we talked about the White House Twitter account.
Yeah, the White House Twitter
where they would use, what would they use? They would make bad memes, they'd use AI generated images, and they would make really bad things. So let's see what fucking Gavin Newsom is posting on his thing, the press office of Gavin Newsom. We have first this. So it says, remember this, guys, this is them now. It's a meme. What you actually see, this is a repost of a video of Donald Trump getting out of Air Force One, and he had the military men rolling out his red carpet to make sure he doesn't trip. So Gavin Newsom's office is making fun of, like, look at how Trump's using the military, and look at how we used to use the military.
Yeah.
So trolling. Then we have our next thing, which is, okay, so on the bottom, there's Rapid Response 47, which is a Donald Trump, like, pro-Trump account. And Donald Trump, it showed a black and white picture of Donald Trump pointing at Vladimir Putin, like supposedly giving him the business.
Uh-huh.
Governor Newsom press office showed a picture of Newsom pointing at Trump with that same thing.
Yeah.
And here's the tweet. Tiny Hands is out here copying me, but without the stamina, parentheses sad, and certainly without the, quote, looks. Total beta. And they're tweeting with all caps. This is important to remember.
Yeah.
They're tweeting with all caps. Then they build on it, right? Because actually the picture that they reposted got more likes than the original post. So then they tweeted this, quote, new. We totally, all caps, humiliated the White House by, quote, by all caps, ratioing them with 3 times yesterday. A great day for America. Thank you, all caps, patriots. So they've been doing this for a while. It's not how we've seen Democrats do anything. It's really funny. They're taking the same thing. So let's see. Obviously, right? Trump was iconic and cool because he was different, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what Republicans like. They like someone who's real, who's not going to get bullied, who this and that. They're tired of the snowflakes. So let's see what Fox News has to say about Gavin Newsom's tweets.
Well, I'm sure they're going to say he's a comedian.
He's a comedian, right?
Yeah.
You know they're going to react great to this.
Gavin Newsom, meantime, posting this on X, Liz, using all capitals, of course, trying to mock Trump, use Trump style. He's been doing this for a while now. He says, quoting, Trump just fled the podium with Putin. No questions, nothing. Total low energy. The man looked like he'd just eaten three buckets of KFC with Vlad. Admit it, Donnie J. You're terrified because this was the worst week of your life because of me, Gavin C. Newsom. I think he's trying to be funny. I don't know what he's trying to do, but it comes across as childish. And what are you, the governor of the biggest state in the union, what are you doing?
Honestly, I feel like he's trying so hard to be Trump, but he's coming off like Kanye West. He seems absolutely insane.
So guys, thoughts, do you think that he's coming off childish?
I totally think he's coming off childish, but I do appreciate the cerebral comedy in all of this.
Yes.
It's getting the country to think a little bit more, and I love thinking.
Yeah, I'm like, well, he's trying to come off childish because he's trying to sound like Donald Trump's
right.
Twitter. So, yeah, that's what he's doing. Do I love that this is where we're at? Do I love Gavin Newsom all the time?
No.
But, like...
It's funny.
Yeah, I'm like... You can't be mad about the parody tweets,
right.
But not the thing that it's parodying. Like, you can't say that it's beneath his office, that it's childish, but the president is cool to use the exact same language and tweet in the exact same way and do the exact same things. Like, you can have one or the other.
Yes. And I just think, again, well... It's interesting with Gavin Newsom's strategy. I mean, clearly he's going to try to run for president.
Yeah.
That's why he's doing this. He's doing, so what he's doing is like going on the press, doing like aggressive politics against Trump, against the whole gerrymandering thing, but also online, they're doing this, which I think is really funny and really clever. And after this clip went up, the Twitter posted this. Bird brain Trey Gallagher, parentheses, a so-called Fox, quote, news host that nobody has ever heard of, parentheses, says my posts are, quote, childish and, quote, unbecoming, end quote, of a leader. Can you believe it? Many are saying Fox, parentheses, edit the tapes, news should cancel his pathetic little, quote, bedtime show immediately. They are calling it the most boring program in cable news history. Total snooze fest, sad.
GCN.
So I'm like, I want to see more of this.
I want to see more emoji usage, if
yeah.
I may also be yeah. able
to. Trump doesn't use emoji.
If well, I had to make a pass on this, I would say that the grammar and the spelling is too good. The punctuations are correct. We've got an M dash being used here.
Yeah.
I think they have the cadence correct,
mm-hmm.
but I think what they're missing is that he usually has a couple things spelled wrong, a couple extra like periods,
spaces
weird, because you know that he's typing it himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they do need to add a little bit more deliberate mistakes.
So here's what's happening. Since these tweets, in the past 3 days, Trump stopped tweeting in all caps.
Oh,
he stopped tweeting
juicy.
In all caps.
Oh, my God.
He's now using sentence case. And a few days ago, he just tweeted the word B-E-L-A.
Yes.
Bella. And they retweeted. They're like, we broke Trump. We did it. We broke Trump. So it's like.
We've added to the confefe canon.
Yeah.
Bella.
Well, Bella. But also, they're calling out like. He's not tweeting with all caps anymore. Mm-hmm. It's getting
we did that.
We
yeah.
did that.
We got Trump in sentence case. I mean, that is interesting.
So when people are like, what are Democrats doing? What are they doing to save our democracy?
It's this.
It's that they got Donald Trump to stop
they
tweeting.
They got Donald Trump to tweet, Bella.
Bella. Bella. And, you know, whatever. Okay. Is democracy crumbling in this country? Yes. Do we have failed infrastructure? Yes. Are schools getting defunded and going to try to move to a voucher system? Probably. But Donald Trump is not tweeting in sentence case.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
need to make space for that.
Yeah.
Success.
We got him.
We got, ladies
we
and gentlemen.
We nailed it.
We got him.
Lock him up.
So funny. Speaking of lock him up,
oh,
we're going to round out our episode with Grasshole of the Week.
I'm excited.
Yay, I love this.
So Grasshole of the Week is a segment of the show where we nominate one person who needs to go touch grass more than anyone, who needs to get offline, who needs to log off. And this next story is disturbing, is tough, is crazy. Sometimes we say lovingly, go touch grass. Yeah. I'm going to check in with you if you think this should be lovingly or not.
Okay.
Rachel, I do have to call out. You have boys. You have young boys.
I have two boys. Do they watch YouTube? All day. And interestingly enough, I thought of you guys nonstop on vacation. I'm sorry for this tangent.
If I got a text every time. I'm kidding.
We went to Florida recently, got back 2 weeks ago. And every time they touched grass, they're like, look, mom, we're touching grass. I thought of you nonstop. Thank you.
What kind of people are they watching on YouTube?
The influencers, the video game commenters, the ones that open up ice cream shops in the middle of Orlando or overpriced donuts, which I had to go buy the Yonuts donut.
I didn't know that they're buying Yonuts donuts.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. So there's a kind of influencer kind of aimed to young boys like that.
Yes.
And today our grass hole of the week this week is a man called Johnny Somali.
Okay.
Johnny Somali, he is Ethiopian American, but I guess he looks Somalian, so that's why he calls himself that. But he's similar to Tommy Tough Knuckles, a person in the past, where he's part of this huge rise of nuisance influencers. Mm. And they're usually male YouTubers under the age of 25 who do, quote, insane stunts in public. They do these crazy, crazy. So Tommy Tough Knuckles, we had talked about him because he actually went to jail because, or no, he went to court because he went into a restaurant, an Italian ice place, and dumped a bucket of 50 eggs on him.
Oh,
or he dumped like a bucket of beans on him in a Chinese restaurant, and he'll just leave it there and like record it and post it on YouTube, and like little boys will think it's funny.
Yeah,
and that's how they get clout and all this stuff.
They just make more work for like minimum wage workers at various restaurants that they go to.
So the live streamer, Johnny Somali.
Johnny Salami is very funny.
I kept wanting to say Johnny Tsunami. Johnny Somali has a combined following in the low five figures across Instagram, TikTok, and Rumble. We all know Rumble is the right-wing Twitter or something.
I feel like they start right-wing versions. It's like Gab is the right-wing Twitter. Rumble is so many.
Yeah.
It's right-wing. Yeah, maybe Instagram.
So his whole thing is that he has no shame.
Okay.
And we're going to watch some clips. But the first clip is from, there are a few men that I've found online that cover online issues just like us, but they're not funny and they're not cute.
They're serious.
So we win.
Thank you, man.
This guy has way more followers than us. But this guy is called Internet Anarchist, and he does all this stuff. So we're gonna watch a clip from Internet Anarchist video about Johnny Somali.
It won't be long before the phrase digging your own grave comes with a picture of Johnny as its definition. The last time I talked about him, he was claiming to be a conduit of evil, someone who's willing to do whatever his viewers ask him as long as they give him money.
If you want to see anarchy, if you're an anarchist and you want somebody that is going to crash out with no remorse, with no sense of self-worth, with no sense of self-preservation, I will be your man.
Unfortunately for everyone else, he wasn't lying.
I have something to say immediately.
Yeah. So thoughts on that, guys.
I need everyone listening to know that he is wearing a MAGA hat in that clip. So what we have is a picture of a man of color, a black man, wearing a MAGA hat saying, I have no sense of self-preservation. And I think that is important to note.
Yeah. what do you think of that strategy?
I would like to know his strategy more, because maybe I can apply it, because I have no followers. And I'm not saying that I'm going to stoop to that level, but I just want to understand. And also, I want to know how he sleeps at night. That's probably more
two questions.
Well, we might get the answer to the second soon. He has come out actually and said, like, he does have like bipolar. He has like, I think he has like a lot of unmedicated mental illness. But again, it's this attention economy. You have followers, but you're
like
not going to...
And thank you, mom and my sister and my
brother. No, you have a few thousand.
We'll see.
So let's calm down. You have over 7,000 followers.
You're legendary. You're a Webby Award winner. You're a Tiggle Award winner.
I need this. Thanks. Yeah, don't stop.
And I'll say something because Miss Millie's been doing comedy for 10 years and I never get invited to any Dominican events highlighting Dominican American people. But listen, Miss Girl here has gotten every award. Mm-hmm. She's gotten every politician. She's she's running in the parade. You're living my dream.
Come with me. Why don't you ever hit me up? Be like, let me go.
I want to go to the parade. We'll talk next year.
Yeah. You guys can go in Eric Adams's box.
Oh gosh, no! I was nowhere near the politicians. Let it be known. I did suffer the parade and Pix 11. Thanks.
So, what is his strategy? What does he do? You're disturbed already.
Yeah.
You're confused.
I need answers.
You need answers. We're gonna watch. So now here's a clip kind of recapping his recent behavior.
Okay.
Ramsey Khalid Ismail, better known as Johnny Somali, wanted to become a globetrotting content creator. But when travel vlogging didn't work out for him, he came up with a genius plan to be as insufferable as humanly possible, in the hopes of farming viral clips. He took the mantra, all publicity is good publicity, to heart and found his first target country, Japan. There, he did every obnoxious thing he could think of, from harassing passengers on a train.
Hiroshima, why you do this? Huh? Pearl Harbor?
To being a complete racist.
Yo, this shit is in Mulan language. What does it say? This shit is in Mulan language. What does it say? I thought that shit was errors. It's Mulan language.
Real NPC activity right now.
It's hella NPCs out here.
This is crazy. These are NPCs, guys. We with the NPCs right now, bro.
I'm with the NPCs out here.
Really with the NPCs.
Hey, these are all NPCs, bro.
All while streaming everything for the world to see. He also began terrorizing local businesses.
Huawei. That's the earthquake sound in Japan.
Oh.
So he's making people think it's an earthquake.
Chinese phone.
An act that would later become one of the reasons for his demise. After weeks of being a complete he eventually got arrested and was forced to leave the country after paying a relatively small fine. He followed this up by going to Israel and sinking to a whole new level of depravity, with things like chasing cupcakes.
I'm too young for you, I guess.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
It's legal here in Israel.
Harassing female cops.
Oh, you are bad. I swear to God. You are bad. I sent you to dinner. I swear to God. I changed your life, baby. Baby, I changed your life. I promise you. You are bad.
And even threatening to SA them in public.
I slapped that. I grab it too. Donald Trump told me grab it by the. I grab that too. Stop playing with me.
However, after the locals started enacting their own justice on him and his cameraman.
Hey, don't touch me, man. Hey.
Oh, snap. Oh.
He had no choice but to flee the country. But since he walked away practically scot-free in both Japan and Israel, he figured why not push his luck again, this time in South Korea. He kicked off his visit by desecrating a statue dedicated to Korean women who were forced into SA slavery during World War II, harassing an elderly convenience store employee.
I didn't even drink here. Are you dumb?
Before openly challenging any angry locals to take a swing on him.
Swing on this. I was waiting for him to swing on Johnny. I was waiting for him to do it.
We're ready, Reddit, Twitter, come.
I wanted to stop on this.
Hank is here tonight. We're not scared.
But what he didn't realize was that the Korean people were more than happy to take him up on his challenge.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Leaving him bloody and bruised.
So, guys, thoughts so far?
I'm not really for the violence, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, and just so you know, I volunteered for a really long time for, like, a nonprofit domestic violence work. So I'm really not with it. But, like, I wonder if anybody would instill the guillotine policy with this guy. Like, maybe we should bring that back, the Marie Antoinette times, just for this instance.
For this guy,
I certainly would understand if literally all Asian countries, but particularly Japan and Korea, just wanted to blanket say no more American influencers can come here, because this is not the first time. It was one of the Paul brothers.
Yeah.
Like, first time they were canceled was like, it's like the suicide they go forest. To Japan and just like menace people and act weird and try to freak them out in public because
they have like very strict social rules. Or like, you know, it's not a country where people act like, I mean, I think honestly, like every country, no one really acts like crazy in public. I guess, I don't know, if he's doing shit like that in New York, like, shit'll go left real quick.
Yeah.
But I think we see that every day, it's like a little more normal to us.
I think one of the things he did, one of the Paul brothers was like, ran around Sony Plaza dressed as Pikachu and like screamed in people's faces. So there's always, it's always like racist and weird, and it's like, yeah, I think in most cities, if you ran around dressed as Pikachu and screamed in people's faces, people would be like, whoa, what? Even in Times Square, I would be like, I would, it would get a pause from me because normally they don't run after you.
$2 and
normally, yeah, exactly. But normally they don't like, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a Pikachu in Times Square, but if he was running around, if he was mobile like that.
Yeah. Guys, on top of everything that you guys saw with him in Korea, he also streamed with a very popular Korean streamer named Bong Bong. And so they did like a stream collaboration. And then later he made deep fakes of him kissing her and shared like look. And in the right corner, you could see, obviously it's a deep fake. So he's, again, destroying businesses. He's desecrating statues. Again, the statues that he's desecrating were statues that were made like kind of not in honor, but like highlighting this really fucked up thing that happened to a lot of Korean women where they were sex trafficked during World War II for like Japanese soldiers. So what he's doing is like standing by the statue and making it look like they're giving him head. And so people got fucking pissed about that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of his stuff is either racist or
misogynistic
or an awesome combo of both.
Wow. Like,
so
that's hard.
He was charged by the Korean government for obstruction of business and for the crime of AI deepfakes. They take the AI shit, deepfakes, they take it really seriously.
Good.
They passed a law in 2024 that like in September 2024 about like, you go to jail for a long time if they catch you using deepfakes. Mm. So as soon as they got him in custody, they took away his streaming equipment and his passport. And he was not taking, like, he wasn't taking this seriously. So actually, he got arrested last November and he's been going to court multiple times. And his first court date, he did not take it seriously. He showed up 1 hour late to court.
Oh, gosh.
Wearing a MAGA hat.
Oh, gosh.
Then, 5 days ago, this guy named Otozi, who's another internet guy covering it, he has his whole channel is covering guys like this and what happens to them and stuff. So this guy actually flew to Seoul and covered the story. He witnessed the third trial 5 days ago. And now we're going to see his reflections on what's happening.
So we just got out of Johnny Somali's third court day here in the beautiful yet rainy Seoul, South Korea. And it's safe to say, last time things went terrible for him, today things went awful. And honestly, kind of embarrassing, because a lot of the stuff they did not make sense whatsoever. Clearly, he was way more locked in. He realized how much he screwed up now, it seems like, and he's realizing, uh-oh, I might be stuck in prison for a long time. So today, at least, he was very serious. So, currently he's facing 8 counts, or 8 charges, and 4 of which are obstruction of businesses, 2 of which are misdemeanors. He pled guilty to all 6 of those charges. Then you have the 2 big charges, which are the deepfakes charges. And the deepfake charges are for distributing the deepfakes. Unfortunately for him, he decided to plead not guilty to the distribution of deepfakes because, in quote, he distributed them, but he did not make them. So that's why he's pleading not guilty. The problem for him when doing that is that means they actually have to bring the victims of the deepfakes into the court for questioning. And that extends the whole trial process by easily 2 to 3 months. So if he just pleaded guilty to that, things would be over pretty quickly. He would get his sentence and he would at least know what his fate is. But now they're deciding to extend the process for no real upside. And by him not pleading guilty, that just makes the sentence even harsher on him. So currently, the legal analysts I've been talking to, they're expecting a 5 to 8 year sentence for him from all this. So that's definitely going to be very interesting to see how all this pans out.
So he's going to spend 5 to 8 years, maybe 10. And the court that he's going through, it's not, I think it's kind of similar. It's not similar to like a U.S. local court. It's similar to the Southern District of New York court.
Yeah.
Which is like, basically, they have a 90% conviction rate. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't go to that level unless they're actually like have overwhelming evidence. And that's why you don't ever want to get a case with them, because that means that they've been on your ass for a while.
The way I'm not trying to get arrested in my country or another country. I am not trying to get arrested in another country where I'm like, I don't know the basic rules at all. Like, I don't. Other places have different rights and shit. And like, yeah, no.
Hell no. I mean, hell there no. is a silver lining here. From what I read, he's being represented by Celino and Barnes.
Yeah.
No, Elfino and Barnes. Matt Rice is his son. Yeah. He and, would love if Matt
and
Rice
And you know what their defense is? Your Honor, he's a comedian.
Hey, Emma is the counsel on the case, isn't she?
Yeah, so guys, you know, you got to fucking log off.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Not everything's a joke. And he's going to be in jail for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Yikes.
For being an asshole.
And I will say it's not a loving go touch grass for
it's me. Not, it's no. not a loving go touch grass.
Yeah. No.
Any other thoughts about Johnny Somali or anything else?
I just, this entire, I mean, I guess it's always existed to a certain extent, but this world of like, just menacing random people and making them confused, making service workers confused, making just random Japanese people who are on their way to work confused. I don't.
Yelling at them. Yeah.
Yelling, saying offensive stuff on purpose. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
But that's like, they want attention. That's the thing is, everyone wants to be creators. Everyone wants attention, and they're not learning a fucking skill.
No.
And his thing, instead of like, I'll do anything for attention, it's like, why don't you get really good at a skill? Why don't you take all this time and learn how to fucking do parkour or some shit and
that
flip
is
off
what he
stuff?
Would do.
You'll get, yeah, he's gonna do parkour. And at least if you're being an asshole in public, you're gonna be flipping and the audience and you'll get a, and you'll get thing. I'm just you saying, know? Just do parkour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least Benson Boone does the backflip.
At least Benson Boone does the backflip.
I'd watch that. And also, you know, can I just remind people that karma's a bitch?
Mm. Yes.
Karma is real.
Karma's a bitch.
And it will come for you.
It will come for you. And it's like, he didn't learn his lesson in Japan. He didn't learn his lesson in Israel. He learned his lesson in Korea.
Yeah, Korea's the, I did like in that video you showed, he was like, but unfortunately for him, the Korean people had other ideas. And it's like, it's like, oh shit, yeah, don't fuck with the Koreans.
Don't
They're
fuck with
happy.
The. So his ass is going to.
They
jail.
Got laws over
they got
there.
Laws for the crime of being a nuisance influencer, desecrating statues, causing chaos, and using a deep fake to say you kissed someone when you didn't, which is so lame.
Yeah.
Johnny Somali, I mean, you're touching concrete.
Yeah.
In jail for a long time.
Yeah.
Dang.
But Johnny Somali, go touch grass.
Aww.
Rachel, where can we find you? Where can
tell our listeners
handles, shows, everything. Let's go.
Yes, you can follow me at Rachel La Loca. That's R-A-C-H-E-L. So Jewish, I know. Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, La Loca. So Dominican.
Dominican.
You can also follow the podcast.
Yes.
We Are Latinos Out Loud.
Yes. Beautiful.
There's some stuff coming up for Latinx Heritage Month, Hispanic Heritage Month,
yes.
whatever you want to call
what is
it.
That?
Yeah. I don't think it was canceled yet. And I'm going to keep it alive if I can.
You know, it's like Matt Rife canceled. Like, it's canceled, but it's coming back 20 times stronger.
Yeah,
and it's going to
exactly.
be an Elf campaign.
What is canceled?
What is canceled?
What is canceled anyway? Though I am sure no one's, like, just reminded Trump that it's happening. Otherwise, he would certainly be tweeting. Maybe that's what Bella was. Maybe
Bella.
He was about to tweet something about Hispanic
he's,
Heritage
he's
Month.
He's bad
he
at the
confused.
Bella twins. Yeah,
yeah
like
exactly.
Twins, yeah.
Guys, you can find me on Instagram at Pandalise, on TikTok at Elise Navidad, and this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything.
And you can follow me at Millie_Tamaris at Instagram and TikTok, and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. And until next time,
go touch grass.
Go Touch Grass is created and hosted by Elise Morales and Millie Tamaris.
Recording and sound production by My Friend's Basement Studio. And our theme song is by Doug Weidick.